I think, you know, whenever you get a game like this, which is, it was a playoff type of game, you know, hard fouls, you know, ejections, guys competing at a high level, you know, you need these type of games. And just, you know, to kind of see where you're at right now, even though we got a long way to go and we're still progressing. But, I, you know, like I said, tonight was a good win for us to be able to come out and play the way we did against this team.
It's just going to get us ready for those moments, man, when we're allowed to put hands on people, when guys are, you know, checking through the lane. You know, you just got to, you know, give that same energy on the other end. And, you know, just being in this moment, could just look back to it when we, you know, get to those games and know what we got to do.
I don't have any concerns. I love it. You know, you competing at a high level against one of the best teams in the league. Do what you got to do to win. And I thought our guys were physical. I thought we competed. I thought we fought. You know, and just, you know, just stay the course, you know. And, you know, it's going to be games like this where it's going to be chippy. You know, they're fighting for something. We're fighting for something. So it's going to happen. And, you know, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I just want to keep competing. You know, I'm happy we got the win and we got another one tomorrow.
That's the sound of the horn. Clippers Nation, it's me, Burbank Hank Henry Dittman, coming from my home studio in beautiful downtown Burbank, where the Clippers have beaten the Phoenix Suns. Woo! That's what I like to say. And listen, this is not hyperbole when I tell you, Chris Kawild is in the building. He is literally in the Staples Arena building. He was there for this big decisive win. How you feeling, Chris?
I feel great. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Welcome back, fans. You are allowed back in the building April 18th. And who wouldn't want to come see these red-hot Clippers who just eclipsed the Suns and are a perfect 2-0 versus the Suns this season, Hank? It was a decisive win.
It's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
It's a big deal, man. Now, listen, it's just the same thing as beating the Lakers this week. Sorry, the L word, as you like to say.
Yes, please.
We're starting to get into tiebreaker season. It is my, it's an important season in the NBA.
Sure.
We're starting to come down to these matchups and getting our season records to figure out who will win in a tie.
Absolutely.
And frankly, when in a five-day period or less, we play the team that is directly below us and the team that is directly above us, these games start to really matter. And the Suns were on a seven-game winning streak coming into play us. So they were red hot, and we had something to prove.
Well, did they win last? I think they had a back-to-back, right? Did they win last night, I guess?
Oh, yeah. They won in an overtime victory over Utah, which was to our benefit. As we start to talk about the game, we'll talk about it. The question definitely was, are these guys going to be too gassed? And are we going to be putting pieces together? And how are we going to play with our copious injuries, dude?
I've got three massive takeaways from tonight. Three big ones, okay? One, I was very impressed with Kawhi Leonard, who after one half of basketball had more turnovers than made field goals, which is very un-Kawhi of him. And I thought,
yeah,
wow, Kawhi's having a wonky night. He's having an off night. But then Kawhi Leonard comes out at the break, at the halftime, has more points in the third quarter than he did in the first half with decisive dunks, that decisive and one to take the lead when we were tied 69-69. He made such beautiful adjustments.
Nice.
He didn't have a bad night. He had a bad half, and you love to see that Kawhi come back and get that gutty. He just flipped into beast mode, and that was one of my big takeaways tonight was, uh-oh, Kawhi's off. Can we still get this win? We were up at the end of one. We were down by two at the half. Charles Barkley goes on national television and calls us pretenders, says that we've sucked in his entire life, that we've been losers his entire lifetime. And I'm so curious what Chuck E. Please pulled out of his butt during that post-game show, because the Clippers were for real in that second half, Hank.
Wait, so what is his criteria for the Clippers being not real, that they've never won a championship? Does that sound familiar to Charles Barkley? Because I don't think he ever won one.
No,
jeez,
sure,
Louise, Charles.
And Ralph Lawler said on Twitter tonight that that not only did Charles Barkley not win a championship in Charles's lifetime either, but Ralph Lawler now says Charles Barkley off his Christmas card list.
Oh, wow. Ralph Lawler was red hot on Twitter. He also said, as I recall,
yes,
that he was very curious what Rajon Rondo's plus minus was on the night.
Oh, yeah.
It was plus 24.
Dude, at one point, I don't have it in front of me, but at one point it was Kawhi and PG were positive. All the other starters were negative, and then every one of our bench guys was positive. That was my other big takeaway, one of the three big takeaways of tonight. Rajon Rondo was phenomenal as the quarterback. And I tip my cap to Pat Bev, who so deftly ensured that Rajon Rondo would close the game by getting tossed out. Such a bold move by Pat Bev.
He did it for the team. He was coaching from within. He did it for the team.
But I do want to.
There's no doubt about it.
I got to talk about Rajon Rondo, and he gets my Henry Dittmann Player of the Game, my HDPOG.
You don't get to give that award, but he's also my HPOG. He's my Hanks Player of the Game, no doubt about it.
Well, I'm going to talk more about him, but I think maybe you're sleeping on my third big takeaway of the game, Paul George. Since he got his pop back, he said his toe has been bugging him. He's been playing without pop. But in the past two games, he said, my jump is back. His toe feels great. And look at him. Lights out. 33 points, I think, is what he had. I don't have it in front of me. He was seven shy of a 40-piece. He was absolutely phenomenal tonight. And he really did the heavy lifting when Kawhi had his bad first half. So those are my three big takeaways. Kawhi making the adjustment,
Two,
Rondo as a fabulous backup quarterback to come in.
Wonderful.
And then Paul George lights out since that toe's been healthy. I am very happy right now.
You know, the toe is feeling better. I think I'm just adapting to it. I think what helped is just, you know, being honest with myself is there. But, you know, if I made a conscious, you know, decision. If I'm going to be on the floor, I'm going to have to play my game. I can't think about the toe, can't think about the foot. The good thing is medicine's working, and I'm allowed to be out there. I'm able to be out there without thinking about it. So I'm just staying in attack mode, staying aggressive.
Well, I would actually argue that Rajon Rondo is not a backup quarterback. I would argue that he is our starting quarterback, and our starting quarterback is a professional wrestler in Patrick Beverley. I mean, it was very interesting. I think some people have some reckoning to come to, and maybe ourselves as well, because how excited we were to get Rondo. We many times on this very podcast, listeners, said, oh, we don't need a point guard. What do we need a point guard? What do we need a point guard for? And then you watch Rajon Rondo, and you realize really how beneficial it can be to have somebody like him come down the court, see the court. He was shouting instructions to the team. He was barking out instructions, and he's been with the team for a week.
Yeah, dude. Here's what you didn't see, by the way, watching the game televised.
Yes.
The ball goes out of bounds, okay? And I think it was Amir Coffey or Oturu, somebody who didn't get any playing time at that point, touched the ball, threw it to Rondo, who was on the floor. And before Rondo handed it to the ref to inbound it, Rondo then passed it to Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka grips the ball, then passes it back to Rondo,
Who
then hands the ball to the ref. He was passing to Clippers who weren't even playing. That's how active.
You got to keep them warm.
Rondo was insistent on passing to every single Clipper, even if they were in street clothes.
And oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
It was amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, Rondo's making sure that every single Clipper touches this ball tonight. And that is something, look, Lou Williams, God bless him, was never going to do. I get it. He's a scorer. He's instant offense, which can lead to being a bit of a ball hog, and Rondo is the antithesis of that.
Well, we whoop these dudes up and down the court, but possibly the story of the game, there's a few stories that I want to point out, a few takeaways for me. The first one, it's always an interesting thing, isn't it, when Lawler's law is broken. We would always be mystified when somebody would break Lawler's law.
Didn't do it tonight.
Such a crazy, strong rule. It's a strong rule that once it's been implemented, you start to believe it can never be broken.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So now here's some, let me talk about my takeaways, if you don't mind. Now, one of my takeaways, as you know, we have Lawler's Law in the Clippers genre, in the Clippers arena. Everyone knows Lawler's Law, and it blows your mind when a team gets to 100 and it doesn't work out. Well, I'd like to point out a law by my broadcast partner, Chris Kowild, mm-hmm. that when the Clippers win, we have multiple players, six players, I believe you said.
That's right.
In double digits. Don't look right now. How many Clippers players ended up in double digits?
Well, I don't have the stats in front of me. I'm in the stadium behind the Team LA store and Blaze Pizza. I'm looking at the shells of metal detectors, which will be used once again, my friends, April 18th when they let
fans
back
in the
building. So
love it.
Just off the top of my head, I guarantee you Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are in double digits. I know Paul had 33 points. Kawhi had the high 20s. I think they combined for over close to 60, if not over 60.
They literally 60. Nice job. Okay. Literally 60.
So they combined for 60. I know Zoo was an absolute wash tonight. There's no way he had double digits. Pat Bev, no way he had double digits. Marcus Morris, if he had double digits, it was on the lower side. Golly, I'm not even gonna put him in the Mike. All right, so let's say, four guys had double digits.
Three guys. The other one was our man Rajon Rondo. Pat Beverly had zero. Pat Beverly had zero. Three. But I want to point out.
Yes.
It's exciting to see. And a point. I wasn't bringing up. This is a great rule. Actually, I really believe in this rule and have found it to be exclusively true. What's wonderful is that we didn't have all of our guys firing on all cylinders, and we won because our stars delivered.
Shined.
I think that is huge for our team.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point, Hank, because it was actually a decisive win in that second half. In the first half, it was a real horse race back and forth.
Fun game. Fun to watch.
And in the third quarter, we were only up by two. So again, that's three quarters of exciting back and forth basketball. But in the fourth quarter, our stars shone bright. And it was our two superstars. And what I called tonight, the big three. Somebody barked at me, it's too early and chill. But tonight, those guys were the big three, and that's not up for debate. I mean, how many points did Rondo have? What was Rondo's line?
15 points, nine assists.
Come on.
Three rebounds.
Get it.
One steal.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Plus 24. And
one of those.
And by the way, three of four. And here's one more thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Although that is our brand. Rondo can't shoot. He went three of four from three. He went
75%
three of
good.
Four. He went 75%. We as a team went almost 50% from three and made 18 of 37 threes, while the Suns only got off 24 shots and made six of them. They went 25%. We went 50%.
Oh, get it.
It was the three-point line is where we cooked
them. Sure, we're the number one three-point shooting team. But what's crazy is Rondo was one dime shy of messing around and getting a double-double. But his best pass of the night was this laser to Pat in the paint for Pat getting fouled and missing the layup. And then Pat goes to the free throw line and gets two. So you don't get an assist for that. But that was literally would have been his 10th assist. And that was honestly probably his best, one of, if not his best pass tonight. That pass to Pat, oh my gosh, it was spectacular. And as soon as Rondo got in there, he made a massive difference moving that ball around. He's just a true quarterback and a true point guard.
And the biggest thing is just his communication. Like, he's always talking. He knows what plays are coming. You know, he's telling guys what's coming before it comes.
If he's able to see it when they're dribbling up the floor, you know, in our mental, we know what's coming. And, you know, it just gives us that extra step above the play. I mean, just to be in front of the play and you know, we just know where to be aggressive at in those spots.
I mean, well, they, you know, they yelled it, you know, number three on the other team yelled it out quickly and loud. And I just kind of wrote it back to my teammates. It's the same play they ran the night before against Utah. So, you know, we did, you know, the coaching staff did a hell of a job of scouting and understanding what we need to do to take away in the fourth quarter. And like I said, we were all on the same page, all five of us on the defensive end, we were able to get a stop.
And then just communication, just, you know, putting guys in the right spot, understanding what we're trying to do, and just kind of orchestrating, like being a quarterback on the defensive end as well. So you see, he's, you know, he's been guarding some of the best players. He guarded Lillard the other night, guarding Booker and, you know, CP tonight, and just being able to just orchestrate and understand what we're trying to do defensively.
One of the great all-time point guards, that's not hyperbole. He's certainly top 20 all-time point guards. He's up there in the top 20 all-time assists. So that's what he's supposed to do as point guard.
It's true, and it's one of the things that I was excited. One of my notes that I wrote down before the game was, it's going to be fun to watch two-time champ Rajon Rondo versus, they call him point guard CP3, you got Rondo, who's the two-time champ, and you have Chris Paul, who also plays basketball.
He has as many championships as Charles Barkley.
you mentioned the Clippers being the best three-point shooting team in the league.
Yes.
They are. That was another, you know, if we're talking about best of, when you know, the moniker, they're the best this in the league. The Suns have the best road record in the league right now. That's why another reason this was bound to be
big.
An exciting matchup.
That's big.
But what we really found is that these teams get chippy when they play.
Two ejections.
It happened the last time we played them. Two ejections. People were karate chopping each other in the throat.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty great.
I don't know that now, game is as close as it was in the first three quarters if Paul George isn't in foul trouble, because Paul George definitely got into early foul trouble.
Yeah, two right off the bat.
And he was
right?
cooking, man. He at one point, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I get enamored by these numbers and the repetitive numbers. He had 23 points in 23 minutes and became the 23rd highest three-point scorer of all time.
Really?
All happening at the 23rd minute of his play, and it literally my brain exploded in 23 different explosions.
Pretty great.
He changed his name to PG-23 at that exact moment and then winked at me 23 times, and then a dog wagged his tail 23 times.
And then the dog looked at you.
True story. True story.
True story is a great bit. That's a great bit. I have to tell you, what Paul George was shooting the lights out in the fourth quarter, he just came out firing two back-to-back threes. But what really was sealing the deal for us, and maybe Rondo was the reason for this, what was really exciting to watch on the court, especially in the fourth quarter, especially in the moment where you're trying to hold on to a lead, and actually things got a little tight there, right, around that early in the fourth quarter. It's sort of like when I bounce on the trampoline in your backyard.
Yes.
That was what was really working for the Clippers. A lot of ball movement.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you for that. Here's something that, again, you're not going to see unless you're in the building. And this is a real...
A lot of ball movement?
Oh, stop. Please move on. You saw a ton of ball movement, whether you're in the building or watching it with TNT's trash coverage. Anyway, so...
Oh!
I'm sorry. I'm just not happy. Oh, speaking of trash coverage, by the way, I am having massive problems with the Fox Sports app since the switch over to Bally. I don't know if Clipper Nation, you're experiencing this problem as well. I had to go to the game so I could watch it tonight because I can't watch it on any of my old Fox Sports Go apps. I don't know to do. Yeah, so we got to figure that out, Bally. All the ballyhoo of the new Bally
people.
I'll help you. I'll tell you, my favorite moment of the game, there was a couple of them, but one really sticks out. The Suns, with all their soccer flopping theatrics, somehow go, even though they were down 10, they go on a 6-0 run. They get it within four. Clippers answer with a nice little run. Suns call timeout. Draw up a play for Devin Booker to kind of like run coast to coast and authoritatively miss a dunk right in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
I literally cackled out loud like an evil witch.
He couldn't have heard you because there's so many fans in the building and you're not that loud.
I think Devin Booker's mom may have been at that game because there was a woman clapping every time anything positive for the Suns happened, which wasn't really a lot in the late minutes of the game. I'm like, This lady's got to be Devin Booker's mom because he's at the free throw line getting them within 13 and 12 right now or something. Like, they were down double digits, and the writing was clearly on the wall. And this woman was just brazenly clapping alone in the stands for everything the Suns did. I was like, whose mom is this, and can we get her some mittens?
So you can't hear her clapping?
Exactly. I don't want to hear her clapping, and I don't want to hear about your ball movement on my backyard trampoline.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
I can't stop talking about it. So this, I believe we have two more on the nine-game homestand. Okay, we're seven deep. We are 5-2. Are you nervous at all looking ahead at these two gimme games? Is this a potential trap game, or have we had enough of a break where we're not playing five games in 7 nights like that nutty run that we had where Orlando, even though we were beating them for the entire length of the game, came back and won? Are you worried about it's a trap kind of situation? I think we've got tomorrow Houston and then a night off, and it's, I believe, Pistons.
No, I'm not worried about either of those games. Good. I will tell you, first of all, I will tell you what continues to give me pause is injuries.
Well,
I'm worried. I'm not happy that Serge Ibaka has been out 13 games.
But
and
aren't
he's
you happy to get Pat Bev back there, Buster Brown?
Very happy to get him back. Yes, very happy to get him back. But Pat Bev, at this point, I would never lay any kind of money on Pat Bev playing every game for the rest of the season and the postseason. He just seems to be a guy that plays all out all the time, and it leads to soreness. It leads to injuries. He throws his body around. He's got that Allen Iverson kind of, like, you know, disregard for his own body. And I love it. You know I love it. I love Pat Beverly.
He leaves it all on the floor. He's Mr. 94 feet.
But I worry about it. Paul George is playing in pain with that toe, and a toe means you have less explosiveness.
No. That pain is
in the rear view.
The pain is in the rear view, Paul George. He's back. He's got the pop. He's better.
All right.
That was
all
three
right.
games ago. The past two games, he's got the pop.
I'm still nervous. I'm still nervous about the injuries.
Now,
I'm worried about them.
I don't
Serge Ibaka was so great for us, and he's been out 13 games, and there's
and
literally no timeline.
And we could use
no
Serge tonight versus
there's no timeline for
DeAndre Ayton, because Zoo was absolutely getting humiliated out there by DeAndre Ayton.
He really was.
We could have used Ibaka's veteran wiriness and slickness and slyness against DeAndre Ayton, who was just bodying Zubats the entire game. And I think Ty Lue handled that deftly and went smaller and older with Pat, and it actually worked. I mean, Pat had a massive plus-minus. Would you have liked to have seen DeMarcus Cousins, and what are your thoughts on why he got 0 minutes tonight, Hank?
Oh, I think I'm sure that it is minutes restrictions and taking their time with him.
I agree with that. And it's a back-to-back.
They say he's in the best shape of his life, but I don't know if that means you're going to keep playing him over and over and over again, but I don't know.
You know,
that's something
I also say, and every time I say it, it's a bold-faced lie. I literally, anytime anyone asks, how do you feel? I go, I'm in the best shape of my life. I feel great. I've never felt better, and it's just not possible. Yeah, I think it's a minutes restriction thing too as well, Hank. And I think tomorrow's a back-to-back. I think we see him tomorrow, but we'll just have to see tomorrow or when you're listening tonight, Clippers Nation.
It would make sense to save him for tomorrow night, to save some guys, especially because we were playing Phoenix, who was
also
on the second night of a back-to-back. Also, man, honestly,
whatever Ty Lue needed to do, he did it, and it worked.
It worked. I want so badly to drop the F-bomb here because I just to say and let you edit it, but I'm not going to add editing for you on purpose. I'm so sick of these f-ing back-to-backs. I literally don't understand why we schedule them.
At home makes no sense.
It so often leads to
a
lopsided game.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you know what.
No, I'm turning the other way. It so often leads to a lopsided game where you're saying, well, it was on the second night of a back-to-back, so you kind of can't blame them. It's not good basketball, these back-to-backs. It's not good for the players' health. I wish that they'd just get rid of them.
The only time it makes sense is if you're on the road, especially in like New York, and you're playing Knicks one night and Nets the next, or Phillies right there, or if you're in LA and you play the L word, woof, it's a close one night and the Clippers the next. But honestly,
you almost did it. You got all the way to that.
What we
to the
really
K on that.
Truly need to do for these world class athletes, these princes among men, is just cut out the back to backs just entirely, make the season either a shorter game count or a longer calendar, And just stop with the back-to-backs. Just stop it. This is not baseball.
It's so gross. It's so gross, man. And it's very unsafe. And it just feels like a money grab. The players obviously don't like it.
It is 100% a money grab. I don't understand why not you just extend the season. There are no back-to-backs in the playoffs, and that's when you're making your most money, and that's when most eyeballs are on the NBA. So do
what we're doing right now. We have 73 games, and typically we have 82 games. 72. So you could get rid of back-to-backs if you went to the next season and you kept the same amount of months, but you just stayed at 72 games. And I guess I would ask you, Mark Cuban broke now? Is he broke because you didn't play 82 games? Like, just give me a break. We all know these owners are billionaires. We all know they're super rich.
Ballmer
we all
just
know they're
walked past me and asked me to borrow $100,000.
I mean, like, seriously, they just can't protect these dudes.
I agree.
It's so gross.
And by the way, mathematically, 72 is absolutely perfect because you play the Eastern Conference teams once there, once here. That works out, okay? And then you play the Western Conference teams a total of 3 times as opposed to 4. And now there's no tiebreakers. It works out mathematically absolutely flawlessly.
You should be playing 3 times in your conference. I never even thought of that.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense to play 4 times in your conference.
No, it doesn't.
And sure, somebody's going to get the advantage at home, but too bad.
Yes.
Too bad.
Too bad.
The other thing I really loved, there was one moment where the whistle blew, it was a timeout, there were going to be substitutions, and I watched Rondo walk out onto the court, and I just thought, every player we have that takes the court is great at something. Like, I feel like we are very
Avengers assemble.
It's really nice. It's really nice. And honestly, it's not just the stars, because Amir Coffey can come out and explode from the three. Reggie Jackson.
Luke Kennard.
Reggie Jackson. I can't remember what Marv said during the telecast tonight.
Yes.
It's all right, Reggie. You're not dumb. It's something like 7 straight games that Reggie Jackson has gotten 16 points or more. Like,
that's great.
He's on a tear. Terrence Mann, the young hero who's getting better and better before our eyes.
Sure.
It's so nice. We're such a complete team. Now it is a little bit about trying to get guys healthy and see if we can get to full strength in time for the playoffs. We have plenty of time to implement these new pieces.
Oh, absolutely.
And Ty Lue is such a good coach. Holy cow.
I think he's a great coach, and I understand that it ruffles fans' feathers that they want to see more Kennard and Mann, but you look at what Rondo accomplished tonight, and you can't really argue with the results. Ty Lue knows Rajon Rondo is the real deal. And with all due respect to Terrence Mann, who, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. I love Terrence Mann. He can't do what Rondo just did tonight. He wouldn't be able to do that. He's more explosive getting into the paint and, you know, with the circus shots. But he's not gonna throw those pinpoint passes like Rondo and get under the skin of the opponent like a Rajon Rondo.
Just, you know, his basketball IQ. I think of just controlling the game, knowing what plays to call, knowing who hasn't had a touch in a while, and just being able to deliver the basketball. And, you know, you saw tonight, you know, having 9 assists in 20 minutes. That's huge for our team. And like I said, getting PG easy shots, getting Kawhi easy shots, and that's what we need to take advantage of. I think his pace offensively of pushing the basketball, of getting us easy baskets in transition, I think being able to run an offense and be able to take advantage when teams make a mistake on switches or whatever it may be, he's able to deliver the ball on time and on target. And just being a quarterback out on the floor, you know, with his basketball IQ and being able to control the game, it makes it a lot better, you know, a lot easier for us.
I love Rondo as a backup to Pat Beverly. That is such a great 1-2 punch of defense and annoyance. I saw Pat Beverly just annoying Devin Booker. Devin Booker was so out of his comfort zone. Oh, but he was unbeaten in the bubble. Well, your bubble burst, baby, and it's done. You're no longer in Mickey Mouse Town. You just lost. You just lost twice, by the way, to these guys. You're down 0-2 on the series. That means you lose the season series versus the Clippers. Move on. Let's meet these bums in the second round. I can't wait for that series. And by the way, if the playoffs were tomorrow, we would be crushing the Portland Trailblazers, who we have also owned in the season series. I like where the standings are right now, Hank.
Ooh, I like them too. And what I really like is that we just beat the Suns, and so now we're only three games behind them. The Lakers lost tonight to the Heat.
Yes, they did.
While we won, we are now two games ahead of them. Now we go play the Rockets while the other Los Angeles team goes and plays the Brooklyn Nets. So I don't know if we realistically, I really don't see us catching Phoenix. I hope we can. You never know. We're getting healthy at the right time. We're on a tear, but they are on fire. But I'll tell you this. We are separating ourselves from everyone behind us.
That I like.
That's equally important.
Yes.
And it's equally important.
I've said so many times that I'm exhausted by it. You have to be one, two, or three if you're not a sitting champion, which we aren't. So as long as we're one, two, or three, I am very, very happy. I would like to avoid the L word if they slip down to six. I would prefer the L word slips to seven so that they can be Phoenix's problem. Or if the L word stays at six, and I would like to move ahead of Phoenix. But that is obviously weeks away. We've got a lot of basketball to play. I love the Clippers getting hot at the right time. We have a chance to go 7-2 on this homestand. We're 5-2 right now. Clipper Nation, you got to feel good after these wins, especially against some very heavy-hitting marquee teams. We beat the Suns. We beat the L Word. I mean, we started beating the Sixers, Doc Rivers Sixers, and the best of the East, the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, so we have really punished some marquee teams. Yes, we dropped two. One was to Orlando, and I cannot remember that second
Denver.
Loss. Denver.
And they're making moves. Denver's making moves,
that's
too.
That's why I like the playoff picture right now, because we wouldn't have to deal with the Nuggets. We wouldn't have to deal with the Mavericks. We wouldn't have to deal with the L Word. We wouldn't have to deal with a lot of these teams. We would be playing the Blazers, who we absolutely own, and then the Suns, who we just saw what we can do to them. So I just really want the playoffs to start tonight, please.
I like where we're standing. We have the easiest schedule to finish out the season, but we had the hardest schedule to start the season. We had played 50 games before any other team in the league, Clippers fans. And I know it's easy to get stuck in what happened in the bubble. Let's please not forget we were all being emotionally traumatized.
We all have
PTSD from what was going on. Those players were completely isolated. We had players quite literally saying, I can't leave my family. I'm walking away from basketball for the playoffs.
Right.
It was crazy times. I get it. You, Clippers fan, Clipcast loyal listener, listening right now and thinking, the most handsome, the most beautiful. I hear it. I know. I see it in your tweets. I hear it in your voices when I run into people on the street and they want to talk about the Clippers. You're worried. You're stressed. We had the hardest start to the season, and we are third in the Western Conference. It is so deep. We're playing
and in
great.
We've
added all-stars
In
the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely. We sure have. DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo, and they both have performed fabulously. By the way, Hank, in the Rondo suited-up era, the Clippers are undefeated at 3-0 when Rondo is in uniform. Don't sleep on an undefeated team, Rondo's Clippers.
We have also
won 9 of our last 11 games. That is very, very good, Burbank Hank.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. I like our chances. The only thing that matters for us now, the most important part of the Clippers organization right now is our training staff. It's our training staff. They got to get these dudes healthy. They got to look out for these dudes. And the good news about that is everybody can use minutes. I hear you about Luke Kennard. I want to circle back to this a little bit.
Please do.
Because I've had discussions with people about when Serge Ibaka came on, and it was, well, obviously he's going to be a backup. Like, what are you talking about?
No, he's
I understand we've been grooming Zoo.
Sure.
But when you bring a star onto the team who's great, that player is your starter.
Absolutely.
At this point, Pat Beverly is our starter and Rajon Rondo is our backup.
Yes.
But I wonder, will Rajon Rondo end up starting some games? Regardless of injury, will we see him ever get it started and have Pat Beverly come off the bench as the powerhouse. But the point is, position by position, we're getting deep.
Oh, we're getting deep with
real skill players.
The depth is outstanding. I agree.
I think that Ty Lue is going to be so creative as we go, and not creative in a, isn't it fun to tinker with this, creative in a what really works in matchups. So, you know, we've got Luke Kennard. We've got him. We know that he can get hot.
Absolutely.
It's going to be I think a lot of players are going to be playing for their playoff roster as we go here to the end of the season.
19
really
games left, Clippers Nation. Ooh. 19 games left before these playoffs begin. Holy cow. This is it. This is the squad. I got a feeling. Charles Barkley, they say tonight on TNT, he broke the Clipper curse. He reversed the jinx. At halftime, when he said these guys aren't for real, that they're pretenders, that they're fake, literally now I think the Clippers just win out 19-0 and then go 16-0 in the postseason just to prove Chuck E. Please wrong. I say suck it, Chuckles. Suck it.
All right. Shots fired.
Listen, Hank, I am exhausted from talking through this GD mask. Democrats. So if you don't mind, I'm going to do...
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy Carter, you one-term jerk. So I'm just going to ask you to sound a little bit sooner horn than the Clippers Nation is accustomed with 48 great minutes. But I'm about to pass out in the bowels of Staples Center here. I'm looking at mannequins with no jerseys on. It's very unsettling.
Okay. Toot toot.
No, that's not how you sound the horn, you dog. Postscript. Let's see how Malik fits with your Clippers on the next Clipcast.
I'll limit my turnovers. You know, early on, I got poked in my vision wasn't really there, but, you know, I just stayed afloat. They were helping. I was being aggressive, passing to my teammates. And I just limit my turnovers. Shots fell for me.
Yeah, well, we just had a good talk at halftime. Can't really say a lot of what I said, but we just had a good talk at halftime. And like I said, our guys came out and responded. And, you know, Kawhi took it to another level in that third quarter. His pace, his gear, getting downhill, attacking the basket. And that's what we need from him. And I thought Pat came in, did a great job at the backup five when we went small. You know, so I thought it was a total team effort. You know, PG, just the way he scored the basketball tonight, we needed it.
You know, I've been shooting the three ball well, especially off the dribble. So I will be more aggressive to look to score, look to take more threes, look for opportunities to get threes. You know, the gift about this team, again, as Rondo stated, we got so many guys that shoot it well. So the floor is always spaced.
How good of a shooting team we are, and also just our defensive presence, you know, being able to switch 1 through 5. You know, our personnel gives a lot of teams problems, and that's something I didn't expect. But once I've been here watching the team play, it's very encouraging. And like I said, we have big plans.
You know, just having Rondo on the team helps so much. Again, he's taking, you know, he's kind of quarterbacking and you know, calling everything out, as he just, you know, talked about the defensive coverage, reading their defense and reading their offense. You know, he's ahead of the game, and he's a step ahead always. So it's great just to have a general on the floor on both sides.
Just communication at all times on the floor, being on the same page. You know, I love to chat a little bit, and they pretty much started in the first half. So other than that, like I said, I was trying to play the game, but, you know, sometimes it involves a little bit of chatter.
We focused on us. I don't know what that chirp is about. We focus on us. I don't care what they're doing over there. I don't care who they are, what they're doing. You know, I'm locked in. They can do the chirp, man. I let them have it tonight. I just stayed in my zone, stayed in my place. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, again, I don't care what they're doing. We're focused on us over here. We're focused on getting better. Tonight was a fun matchup. And we appreciate the challenge. Yeah. I mean, it's what the league is about. I mean, you're gonna have tough matchups. It's gonna be nights where, you got to play great to win.
Rondo, like I said, all of our guys, you know, stepped in and played well. So it's a good win for us, and it's just something to build off of.
Well, I just continue to talk to him and having him understand that, you know, my job and what I pride myself on is to continue to push the pace. And the passes may come whenever, even when you may not expect it. So when they're on the floor at all times, when you just expect a pass, I'm a pass first point guard, and just have your hands ready.
Oh, he was great, you know, doing everything we thought he was going to do when he got here, just controlling the game, controlling the tempo, making some great passes, you know, for guys that have open shots, layups. And, you know, defensively, he was great as well. Just talking and communicating, you know, I think getting into Booker, getting into CP, just trying to make it tough for those guys. And we know those guys are, you know, tough to defend, but just giving the effort. But I just love the way he controlled the game tonight.
You've never, I'm stopping the podcast.
Don't stop recording, though.
I didn't stop recording, okay. But we have stopped here, Chris.
No, this is all getting left in.
No, it's not.
I'm the
editor. No, it's not.